everyone. Happy April Fool's Day. If you live in the West, you might be getting lots of pinches or tricks played on you. One thing I miss from France is the kids used to like tape little fish, cut out fish on us, and that's their like April Fool's. Anyway, little French lesson for you all there, cultural lesson. This is episode 224 of Pencils and Lipstick. I'm Kat Caldwell, and yes, I lived in France for about 6 years, had two babies there, so got to go through the toddler years there in France. It was very fun. Anyway, maybe go cut out a fish and tape it to your coworkers back and see if they know, you know, you can tell them about a little cultural fact. Anyway, this is an episode, an interview episode that we're going to have today. We're going to talk to Golden May Editing. All of you out there who are listening are most likely writers. If you're not a writer, maybe you want to be a writer. If you're not a writer and don't want to be a writer, well, welcome, but I'm not sure why you're listening. Anyway, we are going to talk to Golden May Editing because finding a good editor is actually quite difficult. There's lots of people who claim that they are editors, but we don't always know, you know, how they work or what they're going to charge. I have had really great editing done. I have had some really not so great editing done and paid the price for it. So I wanted to have them come on. They work a lot with Louis Jordstad, and I am a good friend of his. They've done a couple workshops with him. So I highly suggest that you guys follow Golden May Editing, also follow Louis, and possibly get into one of their workshops or contact them and see what a relationship, an editing relationship with them might be about. But first, listen to this interview. I think you'll get to know these ladies even deeper, on a deeper level, understand how they edit. They're also writers, so they get that aspect of this business, and see if they are someone that you would really jam with on editing, because that is quite important when you're bringing somebody your book. There are two people in this episode plus me, so I'm going to let us get into it because we cover a lot of ground. Definitely check them out. The links will be in the show notes, as I said. And if you know of somebody looking for an editor, send them this episode. See if this Golden May Editing is something that is a place that they would like to bring their manuscript or learn more about. I think that this is a nice way to hear personally from editors and get to know a little bit more about the editing process. All right, welcome back, everyone. Today we have an interview session with Golden May Editing, which happens to be two people, Rachel May and Emily Golden. Hi, girls. How are you doing?
Hi. Hello. We're great. So thanks for having us.
I'm excited to talk to you guys. We have a lot to get through, but before we talk about your editing service and how you guys got together to make a business, Rachel, would you tell everyone a little bit about yourself? And then Emily, you next, just a little intro.
Yeah, absolutely. So hi, everyone. I'm Rachel. So happy to be here today, and I can't wait to chat. But a little bit about me. I'm one half of Golden May, the May half. I am a book coach and editor, and I grew up not really being into books until I got to middle grade. My brother was a huge reader, and I really struggled to find my niche until I found fantasy in middle grade. And after that, it's been like never stopped, just constant, yeah. One book after the other. And when I got to high school, I started to realize, like, I want to make people feel the way that I feel when I read books, and I want to be a writer. So I started writing in high school, and around that same time, I just realized, like, I want to do everything book related. I want to do editing. I want to do writing, and I just wanted to live in book world all the time. Right. But I was also moving out of high school and moving into like a pre-med degree at college, and it was really difficult
to get. That's not book world.
No, it is not. we had like parent pressure. I love my parents, but they were like, "You can't be a writer. You
get a practical degree, please.
Yeah. Be a doctor." So I ended up switching my degree in the middle of college, and that was a really That was a fun conversation with my parents, but I just realized like this is what I want to do with my life, and
Right.
I want to be in books. So I switched to English literature. I focused everything that I could on learning about books, learning about editing, learning about writing. And then I graduated college, and I had a career for a little bit, not really sure how to break into the industry, but I still never stopped writing. And you have ups and downs, you have ebbs and flows. I think everybody who has been writing since they were tired or just writing now knows that it's not constant. So there were
Right.
periods where I wasn't sure, is this it? Could I make it? I think that was the
Right.
question. Could I do
Right.
this? But I found Emily. We met on Twitter as like critique partners to start.
Wow.
I can't remember who tweeted first, but it was a thread about critique partners or beta readers.
Yeah.
And I think Emily, we had both commented. I think Emily DM'd me. And we started learning everything that we could about craft. And that was really powerful for me because as much as I learned in college, I did not feel like I knew anything about how to write a
Interesting.
book. Like I knew
Interesting.
how to analyze literature. I
Right,
knew how
it's
to
different.
understand themes. Like it is
Okay.
different. I feel like writing
Okay.
a book is not something that is taught even in college level writing classes,
Right,
which is what
right.
I was taking.
It's like, here's write me a nice book report, please,
Yes.
or an analysis.
Exactly.
So at that point with the tweet, Emily, where had you come in? Like where? So your paths crossed at
We're
that
gonna
tweet.
merge. We'll merge at the converge at the tweet.
Yeah.
The famous tweet. We have a screenshot of it somewhere.
That's awesome. I love that. Back when
So
Twitter was
yeah.
fun because you
I
could meet
know.
people.
I
The
know. That was
heyday of
like
like
the heyday
2018.
of writing Twitter. It really
Yes.
was. Before the
Yes.
pandemic, it was the best. I have so many friends, like deeply good friends that I met on the writing Twitter in 2018.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so hi everybody. I am Emily, the golden half of Golden May. And I also have always wanted to be like when I was a kid, I was like making
Yeah.
picture books and like writing children's stories and chapter books and stuff. I even submit like something that was like definitely fan fiction for Little House on the Prairie to like a contest and was disqualified because it was fan fiction. So like as a kid, I was very much like, I'm gonna write books, like I wanna write books. I had poetry published in like fourth grade, like the whole thing. And then high school came and I'm an Enneagram one. I don't know if anybody knows what that is, but like my whole thing is I like in it, that interfere of like being a good person and like having a good impact on the world, like totally derailed me in high school because it was like, oh, if you're gonna like be a good person, you know, art is selfish, basically, was kind of
Oof.
the message that I inherited for a while. So I went into environmental science and I worked in climate justice for a while, for like a decade. Studied it in school, worked at the nonprofit, did the whole thing. It really wasn't where I was supposed to be. And so I had a lot of major momentum and projects derail in 2016 for obvious reasons, and that we don't need to go into. But that was when I started writing again because I was
We're all
like,
in
I need,
America.
like,
Yeah,
I'm
we only hit
so,
duty.
I just was so just down, depressed, all the things post the 2016 election, and so I started writing fantasy again because I had that
Okay.
was the last thing I had written in high school. It was like
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go back to my roots, and so that's what I was doing when I met Rachel. I was looking for critique partners
Okay.
on Rachel in the Twitter thread, and here we are, you
Yeah.
know, 5 years
That's
later.
okay. So you both sort of came to, you're starting to write, like you're writing your, and you're both writing fantasy.
At the
Yeah.
time,
Yeah.
yeah, at
Okay.
the
At
time,
the
yeah.
time.
So it's interesting that so Rachel was studying literature, and I'm sure you had to do a lot of writing, Emily, with like advocacy and just like environmental
Lots of
stuff.
comms
So,
writing. That was my
right.
thing, is I was
Yeah.
like the person who could communicate science to the layperson. Because like
Okay.
all the science people were like way too wonky. So that was my job for in a lot of different roles.
Which we need people like that, right?
Yes, we
We
do.
need those sort of liaisons,
We
but
need more of those people.
probably. So did it feel difficult to go from that kind of writing into fantasy fiction writing, or did you feel pretty comfortable going back to writing?
Good question. I think they're very different They're very different types of writing. And I had so much to learn. I had never finished a book. Like, I'd started a lot of books as a kid and in high school and stuff, but I'd never finished a story and I didn't know anything about story structure or anything about how to tell a story that had any kind of momentum. Like, a lot of my early writing was just people sitting and thinking and
Yes,
nothing
I
really
know a few of those.
happening.
But it felt so, felt so deep. I don't know. When you're 18 and you're like, look at me, I'm writing stuff. I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting because I'm probably a decade and a half older than you guys, but I don't ever remember learning about story structure or what made a story. Like we analyzed in high school, and I was not allowed to study this in college of because of my parents, you know, like get a real job. But yeah, like what made a story? And I think that's part of the issue, right? You get to the middle, or like, what is the action that they're supposed to do? It for me, it wasn't intuitive. So I'm guessing for you guys, it there was a point in which it was no longer like working or intuitive, and you found each other, and you're like, were you just like freaking out together? Like, what do we do?
Basically, I think that that's like one of those, it's one of those things where people are like, well, I read stories, I watch stories, like I consume stories all of the time. I should just know how to do this. Like, I think that's where a lot of people approach this from. And I think that might be one of the reasons why there historically haven't been a whole lot of resources on how to do this, is like people just assume that because we're human and we consume stories all the time, we should just innately be able to pump
Every
one out
time.
that works, right? And that's just not the case. And I've heard a lot of people who've gone through MFA programs as well, who come out the other side. They're like, I still don't know how to tell a story. And so, yeah, that was something that we dove into together. We actually read Lisa Kron's Story Genius together, and that was like the
So
spark that lit the
what about
fire.
that was 2018 when that came out? That COVID's like a black hole to me.
I know.
I can't even remember that was 5 years ago, almost six. Whatever. We're not gonna say the numbers anymore. So what about that story? Did it help you guys? Was there a spark with that? Like, that's cool that you got to read it together, because I think story structure feels very like ethereal sometimes, where you're just like, I mean, maybe I get it, and then you're like, I don't get it.
And it was something that I always really struggled with because I'm a pantser, and like it never made sense to me. And I would try, I feel like I learned how to write. I mean, in college MLA classes, you learn how to write an outline. So I would outline as best as I could. And then it never worked. And it used to drive me up the wall, and I would be so frustrated, and I would compare myself to everybody else and Emily in those early days of like, I cannot get my brain wrapped around structure because it just rebels. Like, I don't want anything to do with this, but I know, like, I understand that this is supposed to be air, massive air quotes, supposed to be how it works. Like, this is supposed to be how you write a good story. So when we dove into story structure, or when we dove into learning craft, and we started with Story Genius, I think it was a good middle ground between like the plotter and the pantser brain, because that book is so much about the heart of the story. And that was the first time I had ever heard anything about like a story point or a message. And I think that's a diff it's not the first time I've ever heard about themes, but it was the first time that I had heard about like you start your story, like you build your story knowing what you're trying to say in a clear, specific way. And that like changed the way that I looked at everything. And working through some of the character exercises and some of the backstory development like helped me put more boundaries around. I don't have to just plot the hell out of a story to make it work. Like, I really need to understand the characters first and like what's the foundations of this story. There are a couple plotting exercises in that book which were more or less helpful for me that weren't just like a full outline. So that opened my eyes to like, I don't have to write a line by line outline. Like, I could do this any which way. And even if the Story Genius method isn't exactly what I do right now, it did help me learn how scenes tie together. So I think it was those foundational pieces that I had never heard put in a particular way that were like the foundations of craft that weren't just structure. Because at that time, I was like, I don't want anything to do with structure. I feel like an idiot. I don't like it. But
Yeah,
I didn't
yeah.
realize that there's so much more to craft than
Right.
just structure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree.
I think it was at that point it was super beneficial for us two to have each other, and I think
Yeah.
that was like the first piece that opened our eyes to like, wow, you can level up your skills and like your understanding of these things so much faster and more efficiently when you have other brains, and it's way less frustrating when you can
Right.
bounce like what you don't understand or what you think you understand and how you're implementing the thing that you're learning off of somebody else.
Yeah.
And so, because I had read Story Genius before and I had found it helpful, but it wasn't until I read it again with Rachel and we like did the exercises
Yeah.
together and we traded them and we talked about each chapter. And it was like this like really intense study group that we
Yeah.
had, that I was just like, oh my God, now I get it. Right. Like
Yes.
just trying to learn something in isolation, I think is a very difficult thing. And
Yes.
so that's something that's carried us through to becoming editors and the community
Yeah.
that we formed and like the way that we push, like really finding your people and like working with your people to level up because it's just really
Yeah.
hard to do by yourself.
Yeah. I think
Impossible.
it is. Yeah, I mean, I guess there are people out there that can, but I think you guys sort of found that golden nugget, really, of like, oh, this is somebody who I can open up to. I don't have to pretend that I know everything. I know in other writing classes, I felt very like I didn't know anything, and so I had to pretend because otherwise, like
Yeah.
everyone else seems to know what's
Yeah.
going on here, and I don't want to be that only idiot. Just I don't know. So definitely not my people.
Yeah.
But what happened then? So you're still trying to write your own books. You hadn't yet decided, like Golden Mate, that's so perfect too. It's like fate, you know. You're like, wait, our names go together really well. So I'm sure you're writing, and at what point did you guys decide this is something that other people need as well, and it's a service that you want to provide to them? Because those are two very different decisions to make there.
Yeah, I think we were like, meanwhile in our day jobs, we were, still feeling that uneasiness,
Miserable.
that I know we had that core feeling of like, this isn't where we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So
Right.
we had
Yeah.
been talking about that. We had been studying these craft, Story Genius and a couple other craft books, and we were just like, oh my gosh, wouldn't it be cool if we could, be whatever we wanted. We could be editors. And then Emily was like,
Yeah.
we should. I think we call it, like how we phrase it, is like, she pretty much just dared us to try.
I did. I was like, what if we did? And Russ was
Like, what
like,
if we did? And I was like, I was like ready to just daydream of like, oh, what if we were editors? And she was like, we should. Why don't
Yeah.
we try? Like, why we should do this? So we did. I mean, we started like talking about like, okay, what if we were editors? What if we because I we were learning so much that we had never learned. We knew there were
Right.
other writers that didn't understand this information, and we
Right.
knew that like that was something that we wanted to help other people with,
Yeah.
and that we could be in a position where we like were lit up with passion. We wanted to tell better stories. We both like felt so called to be in the industry telling stories that matter. I mean, meanwhile, like also the world, we're still in the midst of 2016 to 2020, where we needed stories, we needed voices, we needed to amplify, things needed to be heard, right? So we were like, we need to make a change. This is how
Yeah.
we can contribute. This is how we can help other people. Like, let's get stories out there. We started looking for how do we do it? How do we start? And we were looking at, do we want to do, like freelance editing? Do we want to do book coaching, which was like a new thing that we had just heard about? And what's that like? And we started
Right.
to look at book coaching training, and we found one that we liked, and we took it and we did it. And
You did it together.
yeah, we did it together.
That's
We went
fun.
through it same way that we did with Story Genius. We were doing each lesson together. We were doing the exercises. We were swapping, trying to make sure that like we're both understanding the material, and that if we were going to go into business together doing this, that we were
Yeah.
on the same page about how it should be done. And we finished the training, and we were like, yes, this is what we want to do. This is
Okay.
our place. Let's do it. And I think
So
like one night Emily put together like the brand guide. And the next morning I woke up and like in my inbox was like a brand guide of everything that our business could look like with like fonts and logos and colors.
That's
And then it was like
amazing.
real. It felt so real.
Seems like you guys complement each other very well because you kind of
Yeah.
need, like, you have two different backgrounds. Even if you have like the same goal, you have different work backgrounds and things to contribute. And like, I love how you did the book coaching together because otherwise it can take like all these self-paced courses,
Yeah.
self, you know, like it can take years and you can always make up excuses, right? So, what is different though to you guys about book coaching versus book editing? Because I know this is now 2024, and like I think book coaching is more known after COVID, but still, I think people are confused about what to expect and how they're different.
Yeah, I think Emily, do you want to start with this one?
I can. Can you guys hear? I'm gonna just pause this for a second. I'm so sorry. Can you hear the nanny just got here? And so,
No,
okay.
you're
Okay,
good.
cool. I
It's all right.
was like, oh no.
Babies are welcome. I sometimes have
Okay,
children crawling on the floor, being like, "Just
good. Some people get weird, you know, some people are awesome like you about it. And then at least it's not the dog next door.
Yeah, always the dog.
Okay. Yeah, I can tackle that question. So okay, so book coaching and editing are, I think there's a re there's more of a universal definition now that kind of separates the two, now that there are more coaches out there and it's more of an understood service. So I like to think of a coach as like a personal trainer, right? So like if you're gonna run a marathon and you're going to hire a personal trainer, right? They're gonna work with you every week on like what was your progress? What do you need to work on next? What's your diet gonna be, right? Like every step of the way, they're kind of there to help you troubleshoot. And then when you're like down about it because you had a really bad run, right? They're there to like hype you up and like walk you through the mindset and like how to approach it differently next time. Same thing. This is like you want to write a book. You're like, I have no idea where to start. I've
Right.
never gotten to that finish line before. And so you hire a book coach to walk you. They're next to you during that process of building
Okay.
that book. Versus an editor is generally someone who takes your book in its entirety or in big chunks, to
Okay.
give you feedback, like overarching feedback of some kind, right? So that could be story level feedback, it could be a line edit, a copy edit, you know, there's lots of different types of editors, but usually they're looking at your manuscript as a whole, once you've already done the work to complete it.
Right. That's a big
Yeah.
difference on it.
Yeah.
And there's several types of editing. So what types do you guys focus on for
Okay,
the
so I
editing
think
process?
there's an overlap between book coaching editing in the fact that not all editors are book coaches, but in our book coaching work, we edit.
Okay.
And we're doing developmental editing and line editing, pretty much like
Okay.
mixed together, depending on what stage one of our clients is in and what their, what strengths we need to develop and, what techniques are we learning. But in our work, we're doing like the developmental editing on a ongoing basis, essentially, as we work through pages, we're giving structural feedback and character feedback. And then as that client grows those skills and gets their manuscript very tight, we work on those line editing skills, those pro
Okay.
skills. And we're giving continual feedback so that it's, like Emily said, like an ongoing growth. It's in practice. And this is where like I feel like the core of who we are is that we so believe that feedback and the ongoing engagement between multiple people is so important to telling a really strong story, that our services are built to continue that conversation like all the
Right.
time. So we don't just provide, here's an edit letter with everything you need to do. Go ahead. I think like that, not that there's not value in that, but like we are, let's discuss it. Let's practice the skill. Let's see the immediate feedback loop. Like let's incorporate the technique we're learning. And we see tons of growth in a really fast period because we're constantly going back and forth with our clients.
That's interesting that you say it, 'cause I think I read The Artful Edit, I believe, during COVID, where, you know, you're just in between all the Zoom calls, and I was floored to realize that that's what editors used to be. They used to be like book coaches. They used to get the, you know, send them a couple letters and they'd write them back and tell them, you know, what's going on. And I don't understand where this character is even going. And all these things. Like, no one ever wrote a book. I don't want to say no one, probably almost no one ever wrote a book without someone giving them, like, in the timeline, like in the moment feedback. And yet, that's what we're doing. We're just like all by ourselves writing a story, and no wonder half of them don't ever get done because, I mean, we're all gonna go insane.
You know, you mentioned something earlier about like feeling like you knew nothing compared to anyone else in your classes. And I think there's a really kind of toxic narrative or underlying, and I don't know that's always intentional, but you take that elitism where everyone else feels like they should know or be better than everyone else around them. Not your perspective, but I'm sure that there are people who treat people who know less as lesser, and it feeds this narrative that like I can't ask questions, I can't mess up, I can't, you know, I can't do anything. So take that plus how isolated we make every writer feel, that they should be able to do it, that they should be able to you take those two things, and like no wonder that 97% of people give up, or that like people are working themselves into burnout with no idea how or why, and that they feel so embarrassed to ask questions online, or that they have no idea how to study a craft book because they have a fear of failure. Like I think those two things put together are one of the core problems with the industry, like believing that you should be able to do it by yourself, and then also believing that like, or feeling as if there's no allowance for questions, and that there is a hierarchy of knowledge. Because in my experience doing this for like 5 years, you can write the most beautiful book ever, but as soon as you start your next one, you're back at square one. Like I just started drafting my second book, and I'm like, I don't know how to write a book. What
I was
happened?
literally having that conversation with my
Like,
alpha reader this morning. I
yes.
was like, oh, what is plot?
What is this? Like it's so cyclical. Like the idea that you end up being like, oh, I'm the best in this industry because I know everything. Like that's not how it is, and I don't think that's how it should be either.
So when, as you guys have set this up, it's been 5 years, you said, since you've
Just
released.
about 4.5,
Four and
probably.
a
Yeah,
half. That's insane.
yeah, I know.
Have you guys developed your sort of your own way of coaching as you've taken all the craft books and all your own experience? And do you want to talk a little bit about how you take people from, I don't know, zero, page zero to
Idea to outline. That's the name of
that's
our
our let's
course.
is it
One
there
of
you
our
go,
courses in our
name drop it,
community.
idea to outline. How do we do that? Like, how have you found like kind of the sweet spot of how much time it takes or how much effort it might take people, or what has your experience been in the last 4.5 years with that?
I think, yeah, it's a great question. It's evolved a lot over time. I feel like when we first started, we worked a lot off of the Story Genius, and we kind of compare, and we still do. We kind of mix Story Genius concepts with Save the Cat concepts, because that we work a lot on very character, not necessarily character-driven stories, but just character-centric, like characters that go through change, right? That's the type of story that we work with. So we work with a lot of fantasy and contemporary, historical, sci-fi, that kind of thing. And so we start with the Story Genius kind of character stuff, and then we move into the Save the Cat outlining, which takes the character stuff and kind of gives a structure to what a character arc looks like within a plot, and how you can tie those two things together. So we started in this like very craft centric space, and we created this program, which turned into this course, which is now part of our community. That walks people through kind of, okay, what do you want to say in your story? What's your message? How are you, who are you going to say it through, right? What characters need to learn that lesson, right? And how are your readers going to learn it through them? And then what plot do you need to introduce to push that character on their journey? And so that's what a lot of our craft resources focus on. But then in working with clients, we realized in we are very different, and we always knew that, right? I'm a deep plotter. Rachel is a deep pantser. Like, we're very different in that way. And in working with our clients, we realized that every single one of our clients was very different from us, even like on that pantser plotter spectrum. And so a lot of what we then dove into learning was like, what are the differences in people's processes? Like, okay, we have these craft tools, but everybody's going to use these differently, right? Like, there's no path that takes you from step A to step Z to get you to the end of a book that's going to work the same
True.
for any two people. It's just not
Right,
like
right.
everybody is different, and we all have different fears. We have different things that bring us joy, right? I get a lot of joy out of certain parts of the process that Rachel does not, and vice versa. And so in working with our one-on-one clients, we just learned a lot about that. And so we've now incorporated both into our personal, our client-to-client or client-to-coach services, as well as our community, how to design a process and you make these tools work for you.
Interesting. So, kind of how to individualize what you guys have set up. They come in and like how to make it work for them, I guess. Because
That's
yeah,
our zone of
the
genius, as
it
Rachel would
really
say.
is though, because I know especially during COVID, there was like a study of like what percentage of people who sign up and pay for your course actually ever go back and log in again. And it's like if you actually want to help people, it's really discouraging to be like, but you paid for the course. Like, come in here. So I like that you have a community and this idea of like no one's going to approach it the same is it is pretty genius because I think another toxic idea of this industry is just read Save the Cat and you'll be fine. Like a friend of mine read
No,
Save the Cat and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm doing everything wrong. I was like, no, you're not. First of
you're
all,
not.
that man had a wife who took care of him. Okay. He was the breadwinner. Like, and kudos, whatever. But like, that's not your life. You have three boys. You work. You do, like, you cannot even compare your writing to the craft book that you just read, you know, like, or this idea or whatever. So I think it is a bit of a genius idea to do that and to create and to leave room for people to be individual, right?
I mean, throughout this process, I also learned that I'm neurodivergent, which I didn't know until 2 years, or I suspected, but like I didn't have an actual diagnosis until like 2 years ago. And then that opened my eyes to all sorts of things of like, wow, neurodivergent brains work a lot differently. And like not just neurodivergent brains, but all brains work a lot differently. And all bodies work a lot differently. And all lives are different. And we have different ebbs and flows. And like when you become a parent, as the three of us are, everything changes. And
Everything
then,
changed.
you know, work changes. And so we work really hard, and like our community and everything that we're doing is to give our writers the tools to learn how to adapt, to like learn how to develop processes that work for them individually without comparing to anyone else. And we were joking before the call about like deconstructing our entire worldviews, but like that's kind of a lot of the work that we do of like deconstructing hustle culture. And no longer prescribing to like productivity expectations and taking the pressure off of, you know, daily word count goals. I mean, not just to pick on those, but any type of the world tells you must produce this amount in this amount of time. And if you're not, you're failing. Like we dive into that because it is part of the writing process to evaluate what beliefs do you hold that are impacting how you can show up to the page. And you know, what narratives do you tell yourself that impact the process that you create? So on top of all the craft, which is still so important to us and like making craft work for your brain, we also care so much about developing a healthy mindset, strong foundations of a process, you know, an attitude that can adapt to the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows, to changes in phases of life. And harness like each person's unique strengths so that they can finish their book, so they can be proud of it. Like at the end of the day, we want every single writer in our ecosystem, in our, you know, orbit to just feel proud of themselves and proud of the work that they do and not worry about external pick me validation. Like we want those writers to pick themselves every single day. And that's where we've taken our coaching and
I love
our
that.
in our program.
I love that. I I don't know if you guys read Claire Taylor's book on the author career, the Enneagram.
No, I haven't. I'll have to
I'm
check it
butchering
out.
this. Reclaim your author career. So she goes through the Enneagram and she talks a lot about just like one thing always stuck out for me. It was like the person on stage teaching in the indie author industry is a certain Enneagram type. And you have to understand that what works for them is probably not going to work for you unless you're the exact same Enneagram type as them. And I was like, that's really. That turns everything around, right? Because you can, there are nine different, and then you have different wings, and then you have just life circumstances, how you grew up, how you see the world, whatever. And I love going to conferences and I love hearing success, like instant success stories. I love that being people's stories. But I always tell my clients, that's a unicorn in a sea of millions of us who want to be writers. So, like, you might be a unicorn, and I will, like, be your biggest cheerleader if that happens. But the rest of us will probably write our book and sell it to a couple and then write another and then sell it. And it will be a very slow process, right? Like there's a reason they're on stage to say, this happened to me in 3 months. I love it, right? But like I think it's way more important to be proud of the book, like you said, because you can't sell a book you're not proud of, right? You're probably not going to sell it. Like, I want to be proud of this. I want to look back. I want to grow as I write, but I also want to look back and say, like, yeah, I did my best in that moment, you know, and Golden Mate editing can help you do this. So, I did want to talk to you guys about maybe chatting to the listeners if they are starting to write or they're in that valley of frustration, which we all face. It doesn't matter how many books you write, I feel like. Maybe not James Patterson. I don't know. That man's
Oh, how
insane.
does he do it? I
I
don't know.
seriously, I just want to like watch him, stalk him for a day and be like,
Probably all he
remember
does.
only
Remember when you were
working?
like, remember when you were like, oh, you know, Blake Snyder has a wife and like a support system. Like that's how they do it, is that they
Probably.
have a support system.
Yes.
You know, Brandon,
Yes.
that's how Brandon Sanderson does it, is he
Yes.
has a support system. Like,
He's a very big
absolutely.
support system.
He's not doing his own laundry. I will bet $100 he doesn't do his own laundry. And I bet you when the kid is
I don't
hungry,
even think he line edits his own books.
why should he?
He has world building. He has people who keep track of his world building details. Like, there's a lot of support for that man.
Teams. There are teams.
Teams, right? Like, there's a lady, I can't remember her name, and I'm sorry that I can't, but she writes mysteries and she says that she doesn't have to keep track just like Brandon Sanderson because her fans will like let her know it, and she'll be like, yeah, sorry, I guess his eyes were blue in book one and now they're brown. I don't know what to tell you. And like, whatever, what are you gonna do? You know, but they'll like keep track of it. And she runs a retreat because her fans asked for it. It's like, well, of course, you know, we all want to be there someday, right? But what can you tell writers as they're either starting their first book or going finding frustration in their second book? Like, what have you seen, I guess, in these years of, I don't want to call them mistakes, but like maybe the things that writers don't quite know or they're not quite clear on that are very obvious to people like the two of you who have read tons of manuscripts. Have you found any similarities in what people can work on before they, especially before they go give a full edit? Like, I think that's what most indie writers think. They got to finish it all and then send it off to a full manuscript. I would encourage them to find a community, but you know, everyone's going to do what they're going to do, right? So is there anything that you've seen over and over again that you're like, please, you know, understand this or get help on this before you spend money on an edit that probably isn't going to be the one and only edit for your book.
There's a
Emily, you
lot.
want to go first?
Yeah, there's a lot.
Emily's like,
Sure.
this is too much. Okay, right. You can answer whatever part of that giant question you
Yeah.
want.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on, and that we're going to say this all the time, but a lot of it depends on the individual person's circumstances, right? So the first thing I would say is there's more writers out there who have never finished a book than there are writers who have. And I would say to those people, and speaking to the people who haven't yet finished a book, the thing you probably need to work on is that mindset stuff we were talking about,
Okay.
is like what you need to work on yourself to find your process, to figure out what works for you, to let go of perfectionism, to let go of the pressure, right? Like all of that is the first thing to work on, because that is the number one barrier to people finishing their books and then getting those books revised and then being confident in their
Right,
books and all of those things. Like
yeah, you
that,
gotta finish
I
it.
think to us is more that work, that mindset work and process work is even more important than craft, in my opinion.
Okay.
So that's where I would start. For people who have finished their books, it kind of depends on where you want to take it and how you want it. Do you have, I'm gonna let Rachel pick it up from here because I have thoughts, but like I don't want to just like ramble.
So, and to build off what Emily just said, because I 100% agree, there's something that we say in our community a lot: process without mindset falls apart.
Okay.
So I really think that I completely agree that if you can learn craft and feel like it's going to fix you and fix your book, but if you're not working on the mindset at the same time, it's not going to, you won't see the impact of that. They go hand
Interesting.
in hand.
Okay.
Now on top of that, I've there are a couple of things that are jumping out to me. I think a lot of people, I really love to work on character with my clients.
Okay.
And I think people who have been in programs might know this or might be in this direction, but people who have not yet finished a book or who are really struggling or have finished a book and maybe not been so much in the writing world, rely on the plot aspect. They kind of
Okay.
like they focus, they over-focus on the plot at the character expense. And I think it should be the opposite way. I think like
Okay.
when you know your characters so well, when you've developed their backstory, when you understand their goals and what's at stake if they don't achieve their goals, and the flaws that they have that are holding them back, I think those are better stories. And that's usually where I see like stories start to crack, stories start to break. Like in most of the people that I work with, coming up with plot ideas is not the easiest part, but is easy. Is like in the
Okay.
grand scope of things, we can brainstorm plot ideas, but if it doesn't merge with the character, like they don't work. So I
Okay.
think I would encourage writers of any stage, and especially if they have finished their book and they are looking to take it to an editor, like, what do? I would say read through that book and really look at how is your character changing? What are they changing from? So, like, if they start the book at point A and they end the book at point Z, how have they changed? Why have they changed? And what does their change show to the reader? Like, what message are we showing the reader by their arc of change? And I think understanding like the fundamentals of character arcs and how that ties into the development of plot was a huge eye opener to me. Because I always felt the opposite. I always felt like I have to brainstorm all the plot events for my outline. But like honestly, I didn't know about my characters. But once I knew about my characters and I understood how their arc of change influences the plot, that's story structure right there.
It's those two
So.
things tied together, and they're often taught separately. We often learn about character as one thing, and then we learn about plot. And if you learn about them in isolation, you're not going to tie them together in the way that makes a cohesive story. And so I know, like, it's such a big topic, and obviously, like, we're just saying go learn about it. And so if Story Genius is a really good place to start, but we have a archive of blogs that talk about how to tie character and plot together, and we actually have a 7-day free course that you can get on our
Excellent.
website. It's called The Magic of Character Arcs, and it's free. It's just like it gives you an email each day with another step and activities to do to start to think about how you're going to tie your character and your character's arc and the plot together. And so go check those out. But yeah, I totally agree, Rachel. Like that's where manuscripts start to go off rails.
I think so too. I think that has to do with, like, as you said before, Emily, like we consume stories throughout our entire lives, but we don't really analyze the characters that much, weirdly enough, even in our literature class. And Rachel, you probably took way more than Emily and I, but my prerequisites had to do it. Like, I don't ever remember analyzing like why the author created this character and what growth they had. It was like the plot and what do you think the author wants you to know about this, or whatever. It's just like, but really, when it comes to the story, it's the main character telling you this story. Like, why are they telling you this? Who are they? And why do you care about them? And I honestly never thought about that until I read Lisa's book. Like, I mean, she's a genius for a reason.
She is. She is. I just want to address that your actual specific question in terms of like when to search for a service, because it depends on the type of service that you want to work with. Because I would say if you want to work with a coach, like let's say you were going to hire a trainer for a marathon, right? You're not going to hire that trainer when you're like ready to go for the marathon, right? Like we're not gonna like wait until the end. So my advice for folks who are thinking about working with a coach is just do it. Just drop everything that you're doing right now and go hire a coach because it doesn't matter. You don't have to have a finished draft. You don't even need to have a full idea. Like, and obviously like
If you
make sure that
do,
your coaches, well, and make sure your coaches are the, are like us in the sense that they take people with that. But like if you were going to work with us in our one-on-one coaching programs, we're always telling people like you do not have to finish your draft. You don't even need to have like you can have like 10,000 words written, 0 words written, right? I have one client who's worked with me for several years, and when she first came to me, she just had like random brainstorm lists. She'd never written a book before. She was just like, I have these ideas. I don't know what to do with them. That's what a coach is there for. They're there to walk you through where from wherever you are through the next phase of your journey. If you're going to hire a developmental editor, I would give you the opposite advice. I would say get the book as far as you can by yourself. And what I mean by that, by yourself, I mean like with the resources that are available to you. I don't actually mean by yourself. Give it like find readers, find friends, like work with other writers on your story, like do some revisions. Having to revise is not a failure. It's part of the process. And
Yes,
so
I love that you say that.
I would do all the work you can to learn what you can and revise it as much as you can before you send it in for that developmental edit. Too often I see people pay a lot of money for something that they were just like got it out and then they're like, tell me what to do with it. Right? They pay for a developmental edit because they want someone to just give them the answers, right? And that's not what a developmental edit is. A developmental edit is gonna a good one should ask you questions and give you ideas of where to dig deeper and like where to do some more revisions and like where you might tweak your story, but you're gonna have to answer those questions. And the more time that you have spent with your story trying to get it where you want it to be before you send it in for that edit, the more clearer you are gonna be on how you want to answer those questions.
I love
So
that.
that would be my advice on those two types of services. If you want a coach, go for it right now. That would be my
And
advice.
like it can be, even if you have a finished draft and you're like, maybe a developmental edit is for me, but I honestly don't feel like I could incorporate this all myself, or I feel completely lost about this process still. Like that's still what a coach can do. Like we have had plenty of clients bring to us finished manuscripts and be like, I don't know what to do with it. And then we go through it together and we go back to those foundations and we were like, are those characters strong? Do we understand how they tie to the plot? Do we know what message we're saying? We like go through that process looking at their finished manuscript so we can determine how are we going to revise it. It's like the hands-on is very helpful.
Yeah, especially if you want a real in-depth feedback. So I don't know about you guys, but any developmental edit that I've ever gotten done and any that I do, I tell people, I'm assuming, like I will tell you all of my thoughts. Like if this doesn't work or you lost me here or I think, your character needs more development, but you're really paying for me to read the entire thing, tell you what the structure looks like, and you're not paying me to walk you through why it's not working. I will try to tell you as much as possible in the write-up and in the hour afterwards, but I'm assuming you think this is like your next stop. You know what I mean? I don't know if you guys think like that, but it's like, and that's why I pick them very carefully now. as I've done more of like, because I've realized people might think it's their next stop before publication, and really it's like, but you have no arc here, and so you really need to go back. And writers don't want to hear that because we really want to be done with it by that point, right? And so you have to be very careful, but like, I really think you can make it better if you do this. But it's the coach that would give you that support, right? That like ongoing support.
We used to offer a developmental edit service, and I would say like 4 out of 5 times that people came to us thinking they wanted a developmental edit, they ended up signing with us for one-on-one coaching, just because like oftentimes people, we just think that like, okay, I finished a draft, the next thing is to get a professional eye on it, and
That's
that's,
what
there's usually several, you will be doing
Yes.
yourself a favor if you
Yes.
allow yourself to have some
All
revisions
right.
and some learning and some development happen between those 2 steps.
Right. And so what is the difference between your guys' one-on-one coaching and your community?
Oh, I love this. Okay, so we have this these are our two main services, and our program is our like cornerstone product. So let me start there. So our program is called Tenacious Writing. It is everything that a writer would need at any stage in their journey. Whoa, what does that mean? Oh my gosh. So we've taken we have three pillars of this community. It's craft, it's community, and it's mindset. So everything we've talked about on this podcast recording is the central tenets of basically our program, where we provide craft master classes. We provide mindset water coolers and like discussions. We learn about craft while we're discussing how do we implement it into our process. So within our program, we have included resources. We have a whole library of these master classes that we've done. I think there's like 40 by now, different craft topics, different mindset topics. We have courses that are also included. There's an entire course on plotting an outline from idea to outline, which we mentioned earlier. There's a course on developing a sustainable writing routine. There's a course on how to plan a revision and how to execute a revision. Like, there's heavy content in this program. And we all have it, organized and taken our writers through like a flow. So when you get into it, you're not just like bombarded with, oh my God, here's all these things. We've designed it to whatever you need at a time, you can jump into it and call on it. Then meanwhile, for the community piece, we have a Slack community where all of our members are in the Slack, and we're talking to each other, and we're discussing, and we're writing together. We have weekly group write togethers where we pop on a Zoom and we spend an hour sprinting with each other with little breaks in
That's fun.
between. Yeah. And so we've because we really believe like this is so difficult to do in isolation. The learning, the mindset, and the writing, like all of it is so difficult to do in isolation. So these are our people. These are where we created a safe, inclusive space for anyone to come learn alongside us, go through that uncomfortable work of redoing your fundamental mindset about hustle culture. Like all of that stuff, there's support for within the community. That's Tenacious Writing. It's a one-time life, like it's a one-time fee. You're in it for life.
Oh,
So it's
that's fun.
not,
I love those.
not like a monthly subscription. You just buy it, you're in it, and we continually add it. New workshops come all the time, new,
We
workshop
designed
topics.
it that way so that, because we recognize that writers have very different phases of their life and very different needs at different times. And sometimes we don't write at all. And so we didn't want folks to feel, like you're paying a subscription and you can't take in all the resources because it's an endless number of resources. And so we wanted it to feel like, okay, you're in, and now you can just take what you need at your own pace whenever you need it. And I just want to say, we also do, we have some incredible critique partnership program pairings and writing groups. And our writing groups are like my favorite thing because these people are just, I mean, we have writing groups who've been meeting every month for the last several years, and they are just like such great support for each other. They're learning us alongside each other. We wanted to create a program where people could have the experience that we had with each other, where you just get real deep and nerd out and talk the same craft language and like help each other find process. So We have a feedback training that people have to do before they can
I
be
like
eligible for
that.
those programs. And
How to
so
be
it's a very,
kind.
very, yep, it's a very safe place. We've designed our feedback programs to be very safe. We have people who hadn't gotten feedback in or hadn't shared their work in years because they were so scarred from situations that they had gone through, who are now in thriving feedback relationships, and it's
Good.
like the best thing ever.
That's awesome.
So we have those, and then people also have access to us. So we have
Okay.
coaching calls, we have opportunities for us to review pieces of people's work. There's always like access to us. There's a weekly
Yeah.
Slack channel where people can ask us questions. We are very available in that space. For me and Rachel, it's like our playground, and that's
It really
another reason we
is.
designed it to be lifetime, is like we get to do whatever we want. Like I'm going to try out a new workshop type this month, with guided visualizations followed by writing time together, so folks can like sink into the emotion of their scenes. And so we're going to try that out. Rachel's had open office hours. We're just like constantly trying new things out, different workshops, different craft tips. We do study groups. We're going to study Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart for how it can help us
Nice.
write emotions. So it's just a really fun place. There's always new stuff going on, and like we ask for input, we ask for what folks are interested in doing with us, and we make it happen. It's really, really fun. Everyone should come be in it because
I
it's so
know
fun.
we could talk about it forever. Like it is our, we really have what is everything a writer would need for their journey? It's in there. That's
Yeah. awesome.
And
No matter
we
how
want it to
fast or
be.
slow or whatever, you know, how whatever your journey looks like, we have everything you need.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Love
I don't
that.
think I've heard of a community that is that well-rounded, honestly.
That's great. I mean,
Which is,
that makes me happy. I like
yeah,
that.
our favorite place to be.
So we have
Yeah,
that. And then we have one-on-one, which is our separate service, which is what you had asked about earlier. But that is like, okay, you want dedicated time every week with us, go get
okay.
one-on-one. You want like to have us look through, like give you weekly feedback, weekly coaching calls, weekly assignments to really dive into your story together. It's the one-on-one attention. So it's like next level. Let's take everything we've got in the community and support you one step further with our individual attention
Okay.
once a week for 6 months. It's a 6 month program with an option to renew as much as you want. So you got us for 6 months. Like, let's get as deep into your story as possible and get you as much progress as possible. And coming out the other side, I have to read you this because one of my clients is offboarding tomorrow. She just finished up a year with me. And she won't mind me quoting this, but she said, "I'm so thankful, happy, blessed, and renewed as a person and a writer to have done coaching with you." Like that's the next level touch, right? Like, so program is absolutely amazing. And if you want to take it further, one-on-one is the place for you.
Oh, that sounds really lovely, honestly, because I think that you guys have like nailed it with mindset, craft, community, because too many of us feel like we're going insane or like we can't do this or whatever it is, you know, and like you've said many times, there's an up and down. Sometimes you're flying high because somebody reviewed it great, and sometimes you're flying low and they're like, "I don't understand your character." And you're like, "I don't know." So I think that's really awesome. We are going to have all the links in the show notes. Probably goldenmayediting.com is the best place to start. We'll have a link to your free little email course, and people can start there if they want to. But thank you guys so much for coming on and talking to us about Golden Me Editing. It sounds amazing. Your community sounds amazing. So I'm
Thank you.
going to encourage everyone to go check you out. But thanks for coming and talking to us about it.
Thank you so much
Thank
for
you so
having us. This
much.
was wonderful. What a
It's
fun chat.
amazing.